Alright, Dennis, would you start us off with a word of prayer, please?
Sure. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer asking for your help. We've come together to consider what your will is for us, what it is that we should do in light of the present circumstances. And since this kind of thing's never been presented to us before, it's new for us, and we're coming across new ground. We ask your help to open up our minds, give us wisdom on how we should proceed. Perhaps if you might present to one or the other of us something that would help us to do what we should do, that would be not only right and righteous and pleasing to thee, but acceptable with all concern for our brethren as well as for our neighbors. Most of all, Father, we ask your blessings upon us, that you might save us. We ask you blessings upon the church, that you will keep it safe, and that you will continue to take an active part. Everything is proceeding with this particular virus. It may very well be too late, or not too late, but not enough time to develop any medicine for it. But perhaps we can learn from the mistakes from others and minimize its impact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Real quick to start off, I'm going to use my physician's head to my advantage. Tommy Davis wanted me to let y'all know what he thought real quick. He just said, I have a hard time completely canceling services. He recommends we cancel all services except the 11 a.m. Sunday service for 2 to 3 weeks. So that's his quick two cents on the matter. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go ahead and give you my thoughts on the issue real quick, and then I guess we will open it up for discussion. And some of us were discussing on Facebook a little bit yesterday, and I wrote it down just so I would be clear. But I think that right now, we should carry on with services as normal. We can take precautions such as not shake hands, keep hand sanitizer in the lobby, perhaps change how we deliver the Lord's Supper. The reason for carrying on as normal is because I don't feel at this time that the cancellation of all but one service changes the risk enough to justify. I admit, less exposure in any amount is going to be less risk, but I feel like that those that came to one service today were almost as at the exact same amount of risk as those that were here for all three services. The one caveat there is the children's Bible classes, except with that, that their kids are going to be out there playing with each other in a few minutes. They're at Bible drill right now, sitting right next to each other, and to me that makes the missing classes almost irrelevant as far as spreading germs. Again, I recognize there is less of a chance, but it's very minimal. In my opinion, as far as canceling is concerned, I kind of compare it to the risk we take driving to services. At some point, the risk is too great, and we decide to cancel services because of tornadoes, ice, snow, those sorts of things. But we all drove to services here this morning, even though the roads were a little wet and slightly more dangerous. Many of us have to go to work, cannot completely social distance anyway, and coming to services for those is barely any more risk than what we are already in. Of course, that makes a difference between those that possibly could completely stay away from everybody and they want to include services in that as well. I have no problem with them staying away, but I don't think that right at this point justifies the cancellation of it. With that being said, in my opinion, the only real option to significantly reduce the risk would be to cancel services completely for 2 to 3 weeks. Again, as we look at snow and ice days, we don't say it's icy on the road, so we're going to just have one service instead of three. We don't come for all of them because coming to one, the risk is still there. Again, not an exact parallel, but I think there are some similarities there. But the reason I don't think we should do this goes back to what I said before. Many of us still have to be out and about a little bit anyway. And I believe to coming to services doesn't change that risk enough to justify canceling it. I get the social distancing and the 2-week period that they're talking about on the news and encouraging people, but at the same time, other businesses are staying open. And so when we're talking about our congregation's impact on the spread of it as a whole, it's going to be virtually nothing if we cancel our services for a couple of weeks because of what everything else, and you know, everybody else in our city for the most part is still carrying on with things as far as businesses. Certainly many are staying in more than they normally would. But then finally, the ramifications or spiritual danger of not worshiping with the brethren for weeks at a time, I don't think justifies the cancellation of services right now. Again, it's my opinion. May be wrong. Certainly, like Dennis mentioned in his prayer, this is unprecedented. I don't think anybody has necessarily this is exactly what the right thing to do is. And I'm certainly not going to be dogmatic about it and say that, you know, you are sinning or not going, you know, or not following God properly, not doing the things that God would have us to do if you think we should cancel services for a period of time or even just minimize it to 1 or 2 services a week. But that's my thoughts on the matter, and I wanted to get that out there. And so, who's next?
It's very, very well said. But one thing to keep in mind is, as you brought out there, that we don't know how long this is going to be around. It's going to get worse like that with the end of the month or 3 months or a year, you know. I mean, we don't know. And so, and of course, in canceling the service, that means you go all that time without partaking of the Lord's Supper. I mean, those that won't, you know, and some might not want to come to services of their own. And we got to do this scripturally.
Right.
And the only place we can take the Lord's Supper is at West Side with the Christians. Not, I mean, if we can't, if some say, well, I won't come to, I'll do it my own, not come, you know. And so I'll meet at Dick Hatch's house with 2 or 3 others, and we'll take the Lord's Supper there. Well, that's not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is with the Christians at Westside.
The saints.
And whether it's here at the building or all of them. Of course, I don't see why reason if we're going to meet someplace in the house, in somebody's house, those that want to come all the time here. That's all I got to say, that we got to do everything scripturally. And
Certainly. I think that's the difficult thing about this is I think we would all agree that there are times where, you know, when we miss for sickness, you know, health issues, road conditions, you know, where we don't feel safe getting out, those are judgment calls. And we all have differences of opinion on, you know, when that's the case. And this certainly, you know, obviously there are differing opinions on this issue.
The only thing I was going to add is I agree, you know, I think we should keep the services the same. That's my opinion. Just keep going. If your personal preferences, and you could make the personal decision to stay home. And if we did cancel services, a good majority of our members would go to other congregations anyway. So we're not really protecting a good majority of the people anyway. Because I know a majority of the people here would find another congregation that is meeting and meet with them anyway. So
I don't know about a majority, but there was some who would feel compelled.
I would just say that if you are in our what we consider more high at-risk population of like elderly or like I will probably never consider myself elderly. I'll probably be 90 years old and like, I'm not old! Because that's just how I feel. So I understand that feeling of others. So I hesitate to even use the word elderly or old because I just don't like it. Maybe that's just my refusal to grow up. But that being said, if you are in that higher risk population and at some point it becomes necessary for you to remain at home, I would not, this is just my comment about that, is just remember that we do have members that are shut-ins, and I would just consider yourself a shut-in for the time being, and I would not necessarily, I just hate for anybody to have a bad feeling about like, and do something that is risk. I mean, you can take your own risks. I probably always will. But I don't think anybody should necessarily feel that like they're forsaking you know, something that if you're protecting yourself, if you're, I mean, the shut-in stay at home because they can't be with us, and I don't think God judges them, you know, negatively because they're not able to partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. If it becomes necessary for several of our members to stay as shut-ins for a month or whatever, I don't think that, you know, I definitely don't feel that you're forsaking the assembly. I think you're doing what you need to do to protect your health so that you can still be a vibrant member of this congregation in the future once, you know, that necessity is over. That's all I'm saying.
I think you're right about that. I don't think anybody here, though, would say that.
I don't think so either. I just don't. People get personal feelings about things. Like, oh.
I wrote down a list.
Can I make a real quick comment, though? One thing we need to be careful of is quoting old statistics and things that we've heard that may not necessarily be true anymore. This idea that age-wise, the older people are at highest risks, and to some degree is true, but we're learning from new studies from China that 41% of those infected who get seriously ill are under the age of 50. So this is new information. So we got to be careful, because what we're doing when we quote something like that is now we're using that as evidence as to why it's okay for us to do something else. And that may no longer hold true. So.
I wasn't saying as far as a decision. I'm just saying if it becomes necessary for that older population. And I'm talking like, and most of the people that died in the U.S. have been in nursing homes. I mean,
so far. Rachel talks about comorbidities, which is a hard word. What she's talking about is if you've got high blood pressure, no matter your age, you got a 10% chance of dying if you get infected, just because you have high blood pressure. See, most of us weren't aware of that fact. And so,
yeah, it's the early reports of it's just another version of the flu. Or
it's not. It's not the flu. It's a lot worse than the flu.
See, I seem to disagree with that.
Oh, you need to read. You need to do some reading.
And a lot of the difference. What's tough about that is the difference in the healthcare and the.
You have to realize
there's a lot of factors in it, but it seems like it's at least a little bit worse.
It's good to understand exactly how dangerous this is, but that's not really the point of what we're here
right,
for. I think Stan's going to touch on this, because the first thing we got to determine is the Lord allow us liberty to stay away from services if we think we should, because on account of this. This virus or not? Or are we forsaking the assembly if we do? And that's the thing we need to decide in this meeting. Are we gonna let those who stay away? We're not gonna judge them, because I've seen some ugly things written already online.
And as I say, I can't in good conscience do that, because like I said, it would be inconsistent of me to judge them, but then somebody that, you know, when I drive to services and y'all might stay home because of the storms and I'm here, that's a judgment call, and
Lorenzo was in the car when a tornado passed over us when we were going home from church Wednesday night one time. You remember that? It was pretty scary.
No, he's forgotten all about it. Yeah.
So, and being a weather reader, I'm very, very careful about storms, and I know what they can do. But Stan, I don't want to keep the attention away from what you want to say.
No, that's fine. And to be honest, my mindset's a little bit different with regard to the purpose of the meeting. So I'll just make 2 points. Number one, I had a list that I made. Tommy Blackstock, Linda Cox, Jay Dean, Willard and Peggy Moore. As far as I know, possibly Margaret Wood, all stayed home today, and I'm thinking most probably and Gwen Matney, and I'm thinking probably the reason that now it's going to have to tell you whether he made her stay home or she wanted to stay home.
I made her stay home.
Okay, so but that's specifically as a result of this, the morbidities and such. Okay, in addition to that, we've got Earl and Judy Shaw Pearl who were here, myself. Who have compromised things that I'm aware of. Okay, so I'm not trying to be inclusive of everyone. I'm just making this point. In addition, Dick Hatch, Patsy Johnson, Ed Matney, Yvonne Staley, Joe Wilson, Cliff Yoakam, Mary Dean,
are in their 70s or 80s, I think, almost every, well, all of them, if I'm not mistaken, regarding that.
Or 90s.
Yeah, or 90s. Sorry, didn't. And so some of them may be in this service, especially as it progresses. My only concern, brethren, is that we not make a decision for others. Because the discussion that was ongoing and on Facebook was, do we cancel services? And to be honest, if we had canceled services yesterday, it would have been a very grievous violation of my conscience to stay home with the state being as it is now. I'm not saying that it won't change if the virus pandemic becomes more expressly seen in our area. I may change my mind about it somewhat, but I could not have stayed home. I would have come, if y'all said we're canceling it, I would have come because several others said they were coming anyway and come and done it anyway, or else I would have gone to Woodmont because of my conscience in that regard. I've had a lot of people tell me I should be more careful because I've got leukemia. And my answer to that is I can't be in good conscience. Now, I can stay away from the grocery stores and stay away from those other places and be careful and do all the precautions. But as of right now, I in good conscience cannot, when I feel healthy and I'm not exhibiting any symptoms at all, I can't stay away. I'm not saying that anybody else should feel the way I do. I'm just saying that's my feeling. So all my question is, could we allow ourselves as a congregation to exercise our own conscience, make clear to everyone who has qualms that we're not going to judge you, that we do not think there's anything wrong if you make the decision to not come because this is an extreme circumstance. But that for those of us who want to remain and to come, let us do it so we don't have to go somewhere else to worship. I don't see why that's a problem. Now I do have that proviso. If I get to where I'm exhibiting symptoms, I'm going to quarantine myself. It would be wrong to endanger others when I know that I've got it or I know that I'm exhibiting those symptoms. But I was looking at the stats, and there's two different views. It's everywhere already, and we just don't know it because people aren't being tested and that kind of thing, which very well would be true. And there are, as of last night, there were three Tarrant County. You know, how many million people? Three that have been. And what I was seeing on TV is people saying that maybe that's only 20% of the actual cases, which would mean that there are 15 cases in Tarrant County. Okay? And so I feel I'm being reasonable when I say I want to worship God today. And I think most people felt that way that came too, because we did have a good number here. So that's all I'm asking, is that you let each individual make their own decision. And as long as I'm not symptomatic, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be preaching to those who want to come. And if I'm not allowed to, then I'm going to have to find somewhere else where I would be allowed to worship.
I'm agreeable to that. And for the reason being that we're not trying to convince someone else what they should be doing. If we leave it to their conscience, let them do what they need to do, and not be judgmental about it, then it should work out fine. Probably what I'm thinking is, right now, while it's not so obviously, community spread, it will be. But sometime in the future, we may have to change, like you just said. We may have to look at a little bit differently. I've probably read on as much or more than any of y'all. The contagion rate of this thing is estimated between 2 and 3 people per infected person. Seasonal flu is about 1.3. Seasonal flu's fatality rate is like 0.5%, and this one's, they really don't know.
Yeah.
They're saying it's about 3.6 right now, and it ranges. But the thing that scares me is how quickly it's going to spread now that, you know, it's here and it's already going. The thing that concerns me is all of us men, at least, or working men, and we can't just let the infrastructure, you know, collapse.
Yeah,
we got to have water, electricity. There's certain things we got to have. People got to go work. And I'm going to stay for a job. I've got to go work. I'm around people that y'all are not around. And my fear is to bring it back here and share it with you, see, and or take it from here to my coworkers. So that, the only I don't want to preach. I just want us to all understand what we're up against here. The only way, the only hope we have to not do what Italy did. Italy right now, they do not have beds in ICU units. People are dying at home because they can't get in the hospital and die there. Is because they didn't go to the extreme social separation. That's about the only thing that's going to work, and that is staying away from other people. When you got a live virus, the only way it's going to die out is don't give new hosts, and you got to keep the new hosts away from it. And
so we can't do that as a society. That's a scary thing about it.
South Korea is doing it,
but we're not going to. I mean, we talked about people going. People have been right. Going to in mass to Costco and Sam's and all those other places. Yep. People are going to continue to go to work.
They're going to continue to go to
restaurants.
I don't think the federal government will just shut it all down, because what you said, the infrastructure, I feel like they're trying to balance this risk of the virus to the risk of the complete societal just,
Well, all they're trying to do right now is they're trying to slow down. The people that say that it's going to affect like everybody 60% or whatever, that's, whether that's happens or whether it doesn't happen, whether summer comes and it all alleviates it, that's all neither here nor there. All they're trying to do right now is they're trying to slow down the spread so that they don't overwhelm the hospitals and things like that, because if it spreads quickly, then it affects that part of society. So that's why you see, like, they're not restricting everything. They're restricting, like, having more than groupings of 500. Now, that may be more restricted now. I heard somewhere that it's restrictions to 150 now even. But, like, we're far less than that number, so I don't see why, like, we're even talking about canceling at this point.
Well,
the only thing I would be discussing right now at this point is, do we go to a one service type situation rather than Bible classes and two services? Now, I don't know how other people feel about that. This morning, my family chose to come to 11 a.m. service only.
As far as
we decide to have all the services like we have in the past, then I'm fine with that. We will start doing that. But the last thing I want to do is, I'll leave my personal.
As far as quarantining, one service over three doesn't make a difference, because if one of us gets sick with this thing, then the congregation is going to be self-quarantined.
Well, that's what I was kind of, right. That's kind of the point I was making. And two, the question of what is our, because we talk about stopping the spread, but as a congregation of the Lord people, what's our responsibility towards, is just, I've never thought of this, because it's, just even hypothetical situations, I've never thought, well, if this happens, what would our,
So you're saying
we have a responsibility.
One in the congregation comes down with it, that all of us.
All of us need to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. To make sure that none of us have got already been infected with it.
Well, we're already done because we're already here, so. Well, we're going back now.
My understanding of that, because I also have read, the longest known incubation period for showing symptoms has been 27 days. So 14 days may not even make a difference. You could show symptoms within 2 days or 27 days. And you're contagious all the way up to, once you contract it, you're contagious all the way up until you show symptoms. So every last one of us could have it even before meeting today and not even realize it.
And those things, while important to note for our health and all, I don't know that they're overly relevant to the question of the hour, as far as I'm aware, which is whether or not we, tell people they can't come, or something. In other words,
right?
Because you're talking about not looking down upon someone who doesn't come. I told my mom that she and Aunt Tommy need to stay in for the foreseeable future, and that's completely. My mom has COPD and pneumonia.
Right. Absolutely.
So I told her, I said, she said, you know, she's talking about, well, I don't want to be a burden. And I told her, I said, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, my point of contact, I understand that.
No, but, I expected her to turn around and be like, you stay home too.
I understand that, but it's her comorbidity is a lot worse than mine. But anyway, with regard to that, she and Tommy are not going to get out at all. I mean, we're going to bring them their groceries and other items that they need, and she, you know, she's had a low grade fever for a week, and she doesn't even want to go to the doctor, so she's not getting out, period, unless it's an emergency. She just absolutely has to, otherwise we're going to do it for her. Anybody who feels that way, especially, well, Jay's here. I thought Jay wasn't here today. Good to see you, Jay.
I was wondering.
I'm sorry about that. I saw Mary and I didn't see you, so you must have been in the back when I looked. But anyway, so we've got people that, you know, I understand if they stay, and I do agree with Dennis. We should not make anybody feel like they're doing anything wrong if they're being just precautious in that regard. I just don't want us to say you can't do what.
Maybe that's the biggest thing we should stress. Maybe the biggest thing we should stress is if you don't come, don't feel like anybody's judging you. Maybe that's the, you know, have services and let everybody's personal choice for themselves. And if you don't come, nobody's gonna treat you any differently.
And it may be probable somebody's gonna get it. We'll have to. This will be a moot point. But
what did Paul say? He said, I don't care if you judge me. I don't even care if I judge myself. Who cares about that mess? I care if God judges me. Mm-hmm. So if I stay home and y'all judge me, well, then that's bad on you. But the problem is that social and emotional and illogical aspect of it. I know, Dick. I got to talk louder. The problem is that social, emotional, illogical aspect of it, right? And that's what somebody posted in the thread, was that there are some people who might be in Tommy or Linda's situation that if the doors were open, will feel compelled to come, even if it was a really, really bad idea. That's the only thing we're protecting against. That is it. And that is what has been the case in ages. When you talk about the icy roads, there are people that can drive the icy roads fine. I've shown up to the building before, and weren't no one here, because I didn't know it had been canceled. So I just unlocked the building, went ahead and had singing and stuff anyhow. But there were people that when we canceled before because of icy conditions, did it because they were worried people would try and drive that ought not be. Not that there weren't some number that could have made it fine.
Can I make a quick point on what you just said? If we're going to give our brethren the liberty to stay home if they think that they need to, we need to leave it at that. We need to be careful by saying things like, well, I'm going to be here. Because we exert influence on our brethren. And if they hear us say that, then could very well be led to think, well, if he's going to be there, then I should be there too and come anyway.
Right, and I've made that mistake before on Facebook where I've said, hey, the roads ain't that bad, pansies. You know, I didn't say it exactly like that, but that was how it was taken for sure. And it was taken like I was judging other people for not hitting the roads and things like that. But that really is the only question. Because if we're laying it on everyone's consciences, spoiler alert, it was already on everyone's consciences. That's already how the world works. And so we're not actually changing it. I kind of blew things up bigger than they should have been with the post it on Facebook. I wasn't meaning to start a debate. I was just meaning to say, somebody should say, hey, we're still having services. That's all we needed. Just so people weren't out there questioning. Because there were people out there questioning.
If we were talking about a general spiritual persecution, then by all means, I would tell everybody, I'm going to be there. You should be there too, you know. But when we're told to be faithful unto death, that doesn't mean we need to have a martyr complex, obviously. We saw the Lord escape danger. We saw Paul escape danger. It's only if we're demanded, we can't do what Peter did. That's what the Lord wants from us.
What about all these interruptions? I mean, you used to call by name, by reach your hand. But anyway, the thing about having one, I got two things. But about just having one service, and to me it doesn't make sense, because the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, there's less people here at 9 and 10 there are at 11. So I mean, it shouldn't make any difference to just only have one service when you're going to have less contact. But what I want to comment on is the 9 o'clock hour this morning, and the song service. I spoke to Dennis about that. They called it the Corona song service. Everything applied to that, you know. And then the sermon that Sam brought out, and so already mentioned that we're not those that stay home with good conscience. We shouldn't hold it against them and strive to them that we're not going to hold against them. I mean, those that are here at the nine o'clock hour, they was able to make it. Right. They would, but some didn't hear that the sermon there, and so this is stressed early on, is not to hold against our brothers and sisters with all good conscience. You know, few they should come, and that should be stressed.
Certainly, and yeah, I think everybody's in agreement there. So to wrap up real quick, how do we want to do that? Facebook post, send out a text, announce it Wednesday night and next Sunday. How do we want to communicate that to the brethren that we're going to carry on as normal? But if you're, if you don't feel comfortable with getting out because of what's going on, certainly don't feel that others are, you know, being judgmental of that. And that's each their own decision to make.
Your dad has a group, and it's been real good for us, because I have people call me, and I say, well, let me see what Stan said.
The text?
Yeah. Text.
That could be a good one. It's we can certainly do that. The difficulty at that is the short, the limitation of the characters.
Can you put a link in the text?
Yeah, but one that most people won't know how to use.
Well, no, but I mean, like, if they just tap on it, could it take it to a page on soundteaching.org, and it would have a more detailed note?
Yeah. I can create all that and do that separately.
Would it be too much to do more than one?
No, we'd do all of it. Yeah. Okay. If y'all will trust me with the wording of the post, I'll do all that. And just, for the foreseeable future, or at least at the present, we're going to continue. But each person should carefully consider their own personal position as to whether it is judicious for them to come to services. And each person has that liberty to make that decision for themselves.
Yes, Stan, I think everything we're talking about here has a relevance, if that's the right word, to what's going to happen this coming week. We've seen last week, the Sunday before, nothing in Fort Worth area. You saw how it's gone in North Texas, Fort Worth area this week. It all depends on what's going to happen next week, whether this blooms out or whether it calms down. My suggestion, what it is have services next Sunday. But if it gets worse during this week, then you can inform people that we're not going to have it.
It's definitely going to be a fluid situation.
It's very, very fluid. That's what I'm trying to say.
Next, several weeks. Yes, Dennis?
I owe the brother an apology. I am rebuked, and I just got a little excited. I did a lot of reading on this, and I just wanted to share, so I apologize.
I don't think there's any reason to, but I appreciate it. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I read some of the same things that you read.
Well, I'm in about interrupting.
Oh, interrupted. Okay. Sorry, Dick, I interrupted too. I apologize for that. I'll try to raise my hand next time.
So does anybody have anything else before we dismiss?
What did we decide?
Yeah. Was anybody have objections to keeping services as normal? as we discussed, until you know we feel the need arises to have another discussion as things proceed, whether they get worse.
The only thing I would say is when you put out the post, maybe just doesn't have to be in depth, but simple like, look, if you are not feeling well, just don't come. I mean,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Endanger your brethren. That's
yeah, please.
Just because some people might not think about.
And that's by the way,
so
we ought to keep
in
mind even coronavirus isn't around the corner. If you're sick, don't come.
Yeah. So no objections to that?
No, we're including.
No, I raised my hand like Dick told me to, and you give me the side of it. No, I just wanted to say, do we need to consider anything about precautions? I mean, one of the reasons for not Bible drill or even this tiny room for this meeting or the classes is because of proximity. But the biggest thing is the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
That's the germiest thing we do is the Lord's Supper. I mean, we're not one cup, but we ain't all clean.
About that.
And so...
God will take care of you, don't worry about it.
And so, I mean, I saw somebody broke it into tiny pieces today.
Well, my...
good, whoever did that. I appreciate it.
The one thing I think we could do, if y'all want to consider, I looked it up, and I think somebody mentioned before that they saw this in other congregations, but it's a little individual... cups you pass out,
yeah.
That have the wafer in it with the grape
those
juice.
Matzo wafers, they used to call it.
And
I think.
There's you can get 100 of them for $25. But that's I don't really know what else we could do besides something like that.
I worry about those staying in stock because I bet you it's a pretty small.
Well, I wonder too. But right now it says it's available. On Amazon.
I don't know. I don't understand because, for example, we did what we did today. It was broken up, and I said, okay, well, someone broke it up with their fingers.
Yeah,
and it was Robin.
But did they have gloves on? Right.
She might have used gloves.
For me, it looked like. And then if someone's handling the individual cups to make to hand them out or put them in there, so it just it's
I mean,
just,
it's
I don't know. I just
all I know is I know a guy that's definitely allergic to grapes. And grape juice, but he still took Lord's Supper every week, and he never died. So,
well,
maybe just a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I
developed an allergy to grape juice, and I loved grape juice. It's very sad.
I don't feel the need, but if anyone does, and there's enough, or anybody does, then we can purchase those things. It'll be more expensive.
All the concerned people on the left, all the unconcerned people on the right. Different.
Why did they get to be on the left?
I don't know.
So that's fine. It was just something that was brought up before that we need to reconcile. So we just say, as normal, make the statement, stay home if you're sick, be conscious about your own health and everything.
And could I put on that page that has the link about our purpose is that we as a congregation are mindful of our number, I read the list, that are possibly going to be impacted by this with regard to mobility and such, and we are committed to helping them, so please let them know. I think that something, as this song goes, if it goes for several months, like it seems like it may, that we need to be looking in on these people, mm-hmm. and not just assuming that they're going to be all right. I mean, you don't have to worry too much about my mom and Aunt Tommy.
Are you going to post that list?
Huh?
Were you going to post that?
Well, I don't want to put someone on a list that don't want to be on the list. You notice I was the last one I put on the comorbidity list because I didn't really want to put my name on
it. I was going to ask, but if you did post a list to add Laura's name on it, because if I get told to stay home, she won't. But if she's on the list, I can say, see, she won't stay home.
Yes, I posted on Facebook yesterday, and to what Stan's talk is saying, I posted yesterday on Facebook for anybody that's not on Facebook, though. There is something you need, or you have a relative, or you have anybody that is in need of something, please call me. Like, I'll go stir crazy at home anyway, so, like, I'll be more than happy to go find what you need, bring it to you. I'm sure there's others in here. I see people raising their hands that will also do that. But don't just sit there at home and suffer. Like, please let us help.
I might even share my toilet paper.
My sister's on vacation right now. She just bought a whole thing at Sam's, so I know where to get some. I'm good at acquiring stuff.
I got a story about toilet paper to tell you in a minute.
And that's the thing people
someone brought to me yesterday. Over yes, it is. Deputy Chief of Police of River Oaks brought it.
There you go.
Yes, Josh.
To second Brother Scoggins, for several months now, since before the Christmas holiday, I have been shopping for other people. I get paid to go to the grocery store for other people. I'm very comfortable doing that, very capable of doing that. So when I saw him post that, that made me think to bring that up as well in the meeting today. So I'm available for that as well, should anybody need it.
I'm just kidding.
No, and I mean that not to say
I know
I want to be paid. Absolutely not. Please, if you need it, I will help you.
But that's the one thing, though, I wanted to make note of, is that we're talking about this, which is important, but this has a tremendous chance of impacting our congregation negatively in profound ways.
Yes.
If we are required to stop worshiping, that we have souls of our number who will be very vulnerable in a situation like that, who are struggling anyway. If our older people are shut in, you know, their physical and spiritual ramifications for that. And we just need to be more mindful of one another during this. And that's kind of the reason why I said what I said with regard to this, is that when you're going forward in this, elevate the spiritual. And that's not necessarily to say you ought to be coming. That's not the point that I was making. I was thinking, you know, the decisions that you make, are we thinking about the spiritual welfare of our brethren and ourselves first, and then dealing with the other as a secondary thing? Because that is a principle I think we can establish in Scripture, no matter as to whether it requires us to cancel worship or not. And that's what I'm worried about. We're a small congregation. I'm worried about the lasting spiritual implications of this and what they could be if we're not mindful of that.
Dennis?
Two things now since I heard what Stan said. It had occurred to me that if we had made some kind of a decision, then Stan could come down to an empty building and preach to us.
Yeah,
so face to Facebook.
Yeah,
and you could put a song leader, and you know, we could do all that. But the other thing that I wanted to ask on is the communique that's going to go out. Nothing's changed, right? Nothing's changed. We're going to meet. If you're sick, stay at home. But that's not what we talked about. We talked about granting liberty to those, even though they're not sick, who think they need to stay home, feel free to do so, and you won't be judged. That has to be included.
I'll put that in there. Okay. Yeah, I think that should be.
I was just asking to add the recommendation just for other people if they were ill, not feeling well. I didn't mean to change anything else.
Yeah. You're right. That should be included.
All right. Anybody else? Yes, Dick?
Yeah, I was going to wait till we get all this commenced here, but it looks like it's never going to end. So what do we know about Willard and Peggy Moore, that they're under quarantine, according to the bulletin?
Well, it's pretty much all the nursing homes or elderly living places, whatever you want to call them, are on lockdown. They are not allowing those people to leave. Or visitors to come in. Like Tippy's place, where Tippy lives, they're not letting any visitors come in or anybody leave.
And they can't leave?
They can't leave. The Moores, I know that Larry Long is locked down in his place, and he doesn't sound too happy about it.
So in other words, nobody there has the virus.
Right. Yes.
Well, that's good, yeah. I know why they can protect them, but I didn't in that.
Else? All right. Well, we will see you on Wednesday then.
I'll get that out this afternoon, everybody.
Thank you.